Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast tonight. This is LaVon Breeland. We are beginning our study on redemptive love. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the first division of John, the Epistle John, of the first division of the Epistle John. Let's start with redemptive love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It is the authority of your word that gives me confidence to make bold and known the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do lean and depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech and deliberation of thought. Holy Spirit, I say, have your way. Do what only you can do. Anoint the ears of your people to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And Father, in everything that shall be accomplished and shall be revealed, you be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I'm delighted that you are joining me to study the Word of God, and we're on especially a longer than normal to establish a foundation for this subject of love. And what better chapter to launch out our studies and endeavors than on the subject of love through the Epistle John, the first division of the Epistle of John. Epistles were written to the church so that the church would have a universal complex and concept pertaining to the message of faith. And John's message and emphasis was the proof of Christ's resurrection through his love toward us. And the love of God has been, of course, as stated elsewhere, that it has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. So as we study love, I think it's going to really bring out some brilliance in God's love, or in God's redemptive work and plan. All right. All right. Let's get a little background on the division of 1 John. 1 John was written by the aged apostle John in the year of 90 A.D., probably in Ephesus. And unlike other apostles, he does not address the letter to any church or any particular person. He writes to all Christians, young and old. He calls Christians to a tender word, technia, which means born ones or barrens. God is dealing with his very own born-again children. And John told us why he wrote his gospel, that we might believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and in believing him, we might have life through his name. John gives us various dynamics about who God is. We find in First John 1:5 that God is light. In 1 John 4:8-16, God is love. In 1 John 2:29, God is righteous. In 1 John 5:11-12, God is life. In 2 John and in 3 John, God is truth and God is good. But in learning who God is, it tells us ultimately that we should operate in his love, for God is love. The love of God reveals the motive behind the redemptive work of Christ. It also shows believers why God was so adamant to use historic events in the life of the scriptures to illustrate the ever-expanding means or vivid big picture set to unwrap his authentic nature. God's highest attribute is his love, and Christ's highest identity is the love for the world. We see an untold progressive movement called love in the scripture, and it is the greatest motive always without question. Anything relating to the preserving of life, in essence, ties back to there being some spark of love plotted in some form to qualify the hopes we have to achieving something more meaningful as such aspirations and ambitions exist. On a personal note, I have in the past been reluctant to really indulge in the subject. Glancing on the influences and patterns of mainstream preaching and teaching, the lessons of love have been overrated with mere sensuality, an emotional impulse used to merely fill emotional voids of the unexplainable. However, in Scripture, love is depicted as a greater narration, much differently, which provokes this study. The story of love sparks much more powerful impressions than expression, and it awakens a consciousness of God by way of light, a thread to the missing link to our hype of theology, a relevance for real evangelism, the resolve by which we quest for faith, and much more, as you'll find in this study. As we study, let's leave the abstract expressions of emotions and satisfactions behind and look further into the redemptive work. Now go with me to 1 John chapter 3. The first point that I want to examine tonight is the product of love. The product of love. And that's the product of love. Actually, we can start actually in the Gospel of John, the third chapter, a very popular scripture. Actually, we can even go to we can go into the third chapter, and we can read the famous passage, verse 16, or we can start at verse 15. Actually, let's verse 12. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even as the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the commendation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Now, in order to find the product of love, you must be exposed to the light. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, as 1 John suggests to us. But then God is also love. And God's love identifies two major things, his nature and his concern for humanity that does not believe. And so we thank God that we can experience his love as Christians, and as a result of us applying those Christian virtues, we can become products of his intent of his redemptive work, which is the intent for why he deals with us in the first place. Amen. Now, love's product. In 1 John, the third chapter, let's look at verses 14 through 7. Let's start at verse 13. The product of love. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We should know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby we perceive, here's the product, we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay out down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath the world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and are assure our heart, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Love demands you to produce those things that are pleasing in God's sight. And as a result of your reflection on the reality of what he accomplished on the cross, it should awaken a conviction within you to operate in his love. Amen. Now, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And let's look at verse 7 through 8. Actually, let's go down to the product of God's love. Let's go down to 13, which awakens a new discussion. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his only Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he is in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. Let's go down a few more verses. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has toward us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, verse 18 is key. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. And then it goes into the fifth chapter. Now, I see nowhere in the passages that we read through the articles of the Epistle of John, written to the church, where there was anything about the love of God dealing with sensuality and expressions of emotions. Rather, we see that the love of God is awakened by way of revelation of what Jesus did on the cross. And as a result of that reflecting, we can then demonstrate that same dedication and devotion that we have toward our appreciation toward him to the people that we see from day to day. And that, my friends, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That love comes by way of producing our redemption. As we reflect on what he's done, we then model it to the people who we influence and we come in contact in every day. And it reveals also the priority and the nature of God. God is love. All right, now let's go over to 1 John chapter 5. God's love awakens us through his light, through Jesus' life, and through our living example toward the people that we see every day. All right. All right. 1 John chapter 5. Let's back up to verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, and the witness of God is greater. For the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not on God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and that the life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written unto you, that ye might believe on the name of the Son of God, and that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. And, of course, all of this is awakened through the love of God, which chapter 4 modifies. Now, in the second division of the Epistle of John, it tells us in verse 6 of chapter 1, this is the love of God, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Love is not a demonstration of mere, or not a mere rhetoric or a releasing of words, but it's an action in our behavior. And we must begin to display that behavior in our everyday lives. So, again, I go back to where I opened up. We cannot afford to not have a revelation on the love of God, because the love of God has truly been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And we thank God for his love. Amen. Now let me pray with you, and we'll have more information forthcoming. Father, we thank you for the words that have come out tonight, just giving an intro to God's love being expressed toward us. We pray that you will continue to awaken the relevance of your love to everyone who would call upon your names. And Father, you alone will get all praise, honor, and glory for the things that have been accomplished and revealed tonight in this brief study about the power and the proof and the product of your love. Thank you, Lord. Continue to be with us as we continue to study and dialogue and deliberate over truths pertaining your love. It is in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. The Bible tells you in Romans 10:9-10 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Would you simply repeat after me? I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised Jesus from the dead. I thank God for the work that he did for me at Calvary. Now, if you pray that prayer, we do have a prayer center that you can call. Look on our website and find out exactly how you can get prayed for. And if you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's one thing to acknowledge the need for salvation, but salvation is qualified in the life of the Spirit that you yield to. And we yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. It is in this season that we also take time to recognize the relevance of the Holy Spirit, which awakens us to the importance of God's love as we study tonight. So please call our prayer line, get in contact with us, leave your information, and we'll make certain that you get information so that you can be prayed for and receive the gift and the promise of the Spirit. We thank you for you listening tonight. There's very much more information that we're going to be giving in the next coming days, and we want you to always be mindful to study, not to show others, but to show yourself approved. This is a great tool for you, those who are listening on the broadcast every Tuesday and Thursdays for 30 minutes. Out of those 30 minutes, I think 20 to 25 minutes, we have systematic teaching of the Word of God. The Bible says to us that we ought to be like the Bereans who search the Scriptures to see whether those things be so. And we try to give you as many Scriptures as possible in a systematic fashion to teach you the Word of God, according to the doctrines which have been embraced of the Scriptures. And the love of God is one of the key doctrines that will help awaken and activate that thing. We go to about 4 to 5 Scriptures each time. We have about 5 points or 5 subpoints in every category of teaching that we teach. So if you get a notebook and set aside time to listen and get a notebook and just begin to jot down, you will by the end of the month have about 12 opportunities and 12 different opportunities to take systematic notes and develop a little devotion with us as we journey on what it means to be redeemed and the different doctrinal teachings and questions and answers and various interviews that are very informative about what's going on in the life of Urban Glory Campaigns and the Faith Class Radio. I thank you for listening to the broadcast. We're going to be sending out some new information. Make sure you sign up. Find out about our organization and sign up on one of our mailing lists. We minister to ministers. We have Bible training courses. We're going to have a special program that's going to talk about our school of ministry that is ran all year round. If you want to study the Word of God systematically and learn the principles of God's Word on a whole other level, continue to join us and continue to listen. But we have hundreds of hours of teachings going from Genesis to Revelation on various subjects of the Word of God by yours truly. So thank you for listening to tonight. We are excited because our audiences are growing and we're looking and expecting to expand even more. And we're coming out with new teachings that have not, and I guarantee you as we finish this Redemptive Love series, you're going to get greater aspects and insights on the love of God that is not as common that you can. There's some things that I can say on this program that I can't say over the pulpit for the nature of the sensitivity of the move of the Spirit. But on this particular one, I can go and break down for implementation. If you have questions about anything pertaining to the Word of God or things pertaining to Christian principles for practical application, you can always email us. Look on our page and get the information of how you can communicate to us. Write your question down in detail, or you can even call in and record your question and give it to us, and we will get back or either produce the material on the broadcast so that way we can minister to the hearers who are looking for insights on things pertinent to the Word of God. So this is a great atmosphere and a great time for you to just take this time out to study the Word of God systematically, and we encourage you to do it on this program. Thank you for listening to tonight. I will say this. We're going to be in some doctrinal information this month that is going to be outstanding. We are correcting prophetic error, and we're also dealing with the apostles' doctrine. If you want to find out what the real apostles' doctrine is about, join us on Thursdays and join us on Tuesdays as we go deeper in the Word of God. And then we also have on Monday nights a Bible Institute. We have several Bible Institutes that run simultaneously. Please look on our website and get information on how you can be a part of that. It will bless your life. And we're looking for God to do exceedingly abundantly above all things that we can ask or imagine. And we are in a high expectation for the results and the fruits and the benefits of this ministry. So thank you for listening to tonight. We will appreciate your willingness to study with me the Word of God. And I always take a privilege. There's there are a few times that I have to come on because of our great staff live, but when I do, I'm always excited because I get the opportunity to say a little more than I can say on the program, the normal settings of the program. But the word is the same nonetheless, and you will be empowered to go above and beyond the norm systematically in the Word of God. Before I leave, I do want to go back to some scriptures pertaining to love of God, because I believe that we need to learn to love others and look for genuine Christianity through existing in God's love. Love is that mark that signifies that we walk with God. And love is not proven by words, but it must be proven by deeds. As we begin to walk in God's love and walk in God's ways, we'll have greater fellowship with him. And as a result, we're awakening into this newness of life in which he promised us. Now, I'll conclude with me in Ephesians. Ephesians. I had a little more time, so I want to drop this in your heart. One of Paul's prayers to the church of Ephesus was that the eyes of their understanding might be enlightened, that they would know the meanings behind the efforts in which God had worked the plan of the redemptive plan in salvation, so that we could have an opportunity to experience this life that is superior to the ways of the world. And sometimes in the church, because there has been a neglect to authentic teaching, we have lost the essence behind the integrity of God's love and God's word. But I believe through programs like this and through ministers that are disciplined to give nothing but the Word of God on God's platform, I think we're going to see a greater appreciation and a greater moving of God's presence because we are focused on God's love. God is love, and he exists in the environment in which he stipulated as the realm. But in Ephesians, it tells us, of course, in 1:18, that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened, that we might know the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory is in the inheritance in the saints. It's not external, but it's internal. But in the second chapter, I love this part, this dimension. Actually, in the third chapter, I apologize. The third chapter, and that is verse 14, let's read it together. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant according to his riches the glories to his to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, in the next lesson, I'm going to really deal with how faith is awakened through love. But this scripture kind of highlights it, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This love passes knowledge. And as a result of us going after this love, we can experience a high quality of life. So continue to study with us on redemptive love this month, as we awaken to new teachings and new insights on the scripture. Thank you for listening to the broadcast tonight. I pray that the eyes of your understanding pertaining his love was awakened, and that you would demonstrate that love by loving the people that you do see. So God knows that he loves you whom you don't see. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast tonight. This is LaVon Breland. God bless you, and good night.